You're listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there. This is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins. I see Sam Tweedle with some hair.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That's for my extra special Halloween costume. And I'm really looking on Halloween on Monday. I have a great costume. And then on Tuesday, I'm going to the barber and I am shaving my head again. I'm not shaving. I'm getting the barber to do it right because I can't stand this hair. It's itchy. I don't know how you guys deal with hair. And you guys have so much hair.
Yes.
Hi, it's Martin Bruda.
Hey, Marty.
Hi, Marty. You got lots of hair, too.
Wait, is this Hair Kids Comics or Hey Kids Comics?
Oh, that was awful. That was awful.
Cringeworthy.
Yes.
In fact.
Yeah, I had to go buy a fake mustache today for my Halloween costume. For everybody who knows, I might as well just give it out. I'm going to be Ken Bone for Halloween.
This is where we play that cricket sound.
Well, I'm going to ask Ken Bone, but you know what?
I
would like to give a shout out to. Can I give a shout out to a local business?
That depends. Is it Ken Bone related?
No, it's not. But it is. I want to talk about Casey Costumes downtown. I was at their place today, a business, to go buy a fake mustache. And they don't have comics, but what they do is something. What they do have that a lot of comic guys love and that I buy at the comic store is pop figures.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Boy, do they
not quite crickets.
Do they have pop figures? And one thing, their pop figures are cheaper than most places that I buy my pop figures. And they also have a card where if you buy 10 pop figures, you get one free. So Casey,
wow.
Yes, I know, right? Casey Costumes for all your pop figures needs. I went and bought 2 pop figures today. I got the White Canary, which I actually saw it at Hot Topic store and
in Oshawa.
Yeah, and they were going to sell for like $20. I got it for like 15 at KC Costumes, and then got a stamp on for it. So
I don't think we should talk about pop vinyls.
Well, we really shouldn't, no.
Because I have no room on my bookshelves for anything else new. And if I get started in pop vinyls, it'll just be a disaster.
What would you do if I got you a pop vinyl for Christmas?
I have one.
Which one?
Pop vinyl. It's a custom-made Captain Canuck.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
But that's it. That's just the one.
I have way too many, and it keeps growing.
There you go.
They're like potato chips. You start eating one, like you're eating them all. They're
just very collectible.
They really are.
What was that one we saw in the previews? Oh, it's a
Swamp Thing. Yeah.
But they have 3 versions, right? The regular version, the glow-in-the-dark version, and then they have a flocked version.
I know. How awesome is that?
If you don't know what flocking is, it's like the old G.I. Joe hair. It's fuzzy.
Yeah. Oh, it's so cool. I order every month. I order at least one pop figure out of previews. Some months even more. So it's turned into a thing. Although I will start buying them at KC Collectibles where they get all of them, plus you get a stamp on your pop figure, final figure card. So
that's KC Sam. Collectibles downtown Peterborough on George Street.
Sam loves a stamp, I guess.
I do. I like the stamp. So let's talk enough pop vinyl. Comics, Halloween comics, hair. We got a lot to talk about. I know I have a lot to talk about. I know Marty has a lot to talk about, and Dan talks.
I have talked.
You have talked. So let's just jump right into this. Marty, what do you got going on there? You put something on Facebook right before I came to the show that I saw.
I'm going to sell at a toy show. Does that count?
Yeah. Tell about the toy show.
The Coburg Collectibles Show.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be downtown Coburg. It's run by the same guys that do the Quinty Toy Show?
The Quinty Toy Show is pretty good.
Quinty Collectible Show?
That's a good show.
Yeah. So it'll be a good show.
Mm-hmm.
I should know off the top of my head exactly when it is, but I don't remember off the top of my head. November the 6th.
Great.
The Coburg.
It's next week.
Yeah, actually. Sweet. Holy moly, it is. Yes.
You got to start packing.
I got to start packing up some stuff.
Yeah.
Sam's got some pop vinyls he can sell.
I only have doubles on one. However, at KC Collectibles, they actually do this thing called the Pops Swap. So if you have doubles, you can actually all get together at KC Collectibles, and you can actually trade pop vinyls.
There you go.
They do that. They're going to have one in a few weeks.
I bet you there will be some pop vinyls for sale at the Coburg Toy Con.
I bet you there will be. I should give you my list.
If you go to Quinty Toy Con on Facebook, you'll be able to see all about the Coburg Toy Con.
All right, cool.
I went to the Quinty one. It was like, what, a couple months ago?
Yeah, I was at the first one, selling at the first one.
Yeah.
Well, not first one, the one last year, but I didn't make it to this year, so just Chris was there selling.
Yeah, and that was actually the first show that I went to with my kids.
There you go.
How'd they like it?
I have a picture of, like, because it's in an arena, so, like, you come down, and then you go inside the actual, like, arena, and that's where everything is. And when we got inside the boards, like, Cooper, his face just, like, stunned. He was stunned. Mm-hmm. He was looking around and his eyes were like just so huge. And I got a picture like at that moment.
Wow.
Like this just great picture.
It's pretty awesome. Cool, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been to the Quinty one a few times. I really like it.
Yeah.
So
it should be a good show.
I could go wild buying stuff.
Yeah.
I've had a few things I walked away from and I've felt the remorse ever since at that one. Yeah.
There'll be tons of comics and toys and collectibles. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, lots of collectibles, like lots of toys. The kids bought like tons of toys and got a couple comics.
Cool.
Should be good.
Yeah.
Right. So comics are a thing.
They are. What were you talking about? Me posting on Facebook before we started doing all our commercials?
You did. Was a couple weeks ago we were talking about the new Justice League book and we were saying how we didn't care about it.
Yes. Justice League of America was coming out.
And we were really, we were poo-pooing it.
Yeah. Because it had I hate to call it the fake Adam. Because he is the Adam, but it's not Ray Palmer. It's mm-hmm. the new guy. Just like Jaime Reyes is the new Blue Beetle. So he's on the team. Killer Frost.
Mm-hmm.
The Ray, which I don't remember or recall which Ray we're talking about.
We're talking about the son of the original Ray. He had his book, a book briefly in the 90s, which I only read a few issues.
Oh, yeah, the one with the like the fin on his forehead.
That's right.
Helmet.
And I remember I read it for a little while because Black Canary wasn't it regular because the Ray and Black Canary started shacking up at one point in some stupid storyline.
Who hasn't shacked up with the Black Canary?
Lots of people. Unless the only time you think about it is when Chuck Dixon was writing Black Canary because she was sleeping with everybody. I mean, Ra's al Ghul, Viking Prince.
There you go. And apparently the Ray.
And the Ray. I was like, what's next? Like, Batmite? Yeah. You know?
So Vixen's on the team too.
Yeah.
So we were kind of like looking at that going, boring. Well, apparently they announced that Batman's going to be on the team.
Yep.
Which got some of us excited.
Yep, definitely.
And then our favorite strumpet, Black Canary, is going to be on the team.
Moment I heard Black Canary, suddenly automatic in. Automatic in.
But you know what automatically got me in?
I know what got you in.
The main man Lobo's coming back. And we're not talking glow-in-the-dark, glitter kitty, Twilight version of Lobo. The original main man. Lobo from Cesarian?
Yeah. How do you think they're going to explain that?
To be honest with you, I don't even know how he died officially because I didn't watch Twilight.
I don't think he died. They just sort of were like, oh, that was never Lobo.
Did he get eviscerated?
Oh, I have no idea. It's just all of a sudden Robert Pattinson was Lobo or Patterson or whatever his name is. That guy. And
Lipstick Lobo. I heard somebody call him Lipstick Lobo.
So, yeah, it was great. You know, I'm not the biggest Lobo fan, but the moment I saw that, well, I guess for me it was Black Canary. It was a sudden in, but I was like, okay, you know what? DC's doing something right again.
I'm going to go and I'm going to find for Dan here Lobo's Paramilitary Christmas because that was an absolutely hilarious one shot.
Okay.
That was hilarious. Lobo was Deadpool before Deadpool was Deadpool.
That's right.
Deadpool was just like this really crappy sidekick in a comic book that nobody cared about. Really, for a little while, they're just like, you know, and Lobo was an adult book, so there was some cursing and swearing, so I was trying very hard not to call him the gut-wrenching, blood splattering.
We're allowed to say splatter.
Can I say bastage?
Sure.
Okay.
All right. But you know, who else is on the team? It has to be more than just Black Canary. That was it. They just announced those three, and we were like, yep, done, in.
Yep.
I know.
Like, the original four that we were talking about.
Even though you were totally out up until that point.
Up until that point.
No interest.
Didn't care.
Like, Batman, and then, Black Canary, Lobo, you're like, here's my money.
No, it's just Black Canary, and they got his money.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it could have just been Black Canary is the Justice League. And
we're just
like, going to
feature
there.
Black Canary's fishnets. I'm in!
pretty much. I mean, she's tattooed on my body. So
Black Canary appears on a poster on a wall inside the bedroom of one of these characters in this comic book, and Sam's still in.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's in.
I'm in.
He likes Black Canary.
I have everything.
So yeah, it looks a little bit more promising. I'm not sure if I'm going to get all the preview books, because they're doing like a Killer Frost prelude book, a Ray prelude book.
I already did the order for that month, and I didn't order them.
Did you order the Batwoman that's coming out?
No.
Really?
Nope.
No, I thought you would.
No, I'm trying to watch my spending right now. The only new title I ordered in the latest for January is the Wasp book over at Marvel.
No.
Yeah, it's the only one I ordered. No. But yeah, I haven't added. This month with my orders was I am trying to cut back a little bit. I barely ordered any new books. Nothing from Image, which was weird because I've just been stockpiling Image books like they're going out of style for about the last year. So
there you go. You know what? I should do more research, but there's a book that has been popping up in the various previews for a little while now, and I'm not entirely sure whether this is like, was there a special, was there, you know, some resolicitation, but it's called The Atoll, A-T-O-L-L.
Yeah, I've seen that, but I don't know anything about it.
Basically, this young lady is kidnapped and wakes up and finds herself on a floating buoy in the middle of this bay that's surrounded by sharks.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the premise is that this is like, I don't know, like a game show or something, or, but I swear that book has been solicited multiple times, and finally it was there, and I said, well, I might as well try number one, see what it's like.
Yeah, sure.
But I couldn't even tell you who makes it or publishes it, and it just seems to be either that or I was having like a massive deja vu moment, and that's the first time anyone has ever heard of it, but I just brain farted and thought it was like there for a few months. So I added that.
I ordered a really fun trade paperback that's coming out at Dark Horse in January called Reefer Madness. And it's all a bunch of anti-drug type horror stories from the 1950s, kind of. And it had some really interesting stuff. There's a Joe Simon story in there. There's going to be a Joe Shuster and Jerry Siegel story in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of like stuff that's now become a lot of not quite EC but ECE type stuff, like Harvey stuff and whatever. And I'm looking forward. I think it's going to be a fun, interesting book. But it's more like the horror ones. Like if you do drugs, you will, you know, go insane and become a prostitute or stuff like that. Like it's those kind of stories.
You'll murder your parents in their sleep.
Exactly. You're going to get high and you're going to jump out windows. Yeah. Yeah, that kind of stuff. So I think it should be a fun book.
Should be good. Another trade paperback that got resolicited that I'm extremely excited about because I wanted it, but it was out of print and you couldn't get any more. E-Man, The Early Years.
Oh.
So that's a trade paperback collection of the E-Man comics.
What company's putting that out?
I should know that, but I don't.
Okay.
I think it's that, what do they call themselves? First Publishing?
Sure,
Devils
First Publishing.
Do.
Devils Do, yeah, I know what
they
you're talking about.
They kind of got into it used to be Devils Do.
And then they
got
First Publishing and they kind of merged it. Yeah.
I don't know.
Cool.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I know two books that Dan here is looking forward to.
And what are those?
That would be Freelance number one and Agents of Pact, both from Chapter House Comics.
I forgot. Remember I said I only added the Wasp? I did add Freelance.
There you go.
I forgot. Yeah, I added Freelance. So I'll be getting that book.
You didn't add Agents of Pact?
Well, it's not Big Jim.
No, but it's the female characters from Captain Canuck, and you're all about the female characters.
I don't know those characters.
That's because they don't wear fishnets.
I guess so.
Why don't you wear fishnets while you read the comic?
Because that'd be just weird. Okay, anyways, moving on.
Yeah, we just got bugged out there.
All right, cool. I don't even want to think about that. That's scary stuff.
Anyways.
So we got so much to talk about. I had a giant list of stuff that I wanted to talk about.
Go.
Let's talk Walking Dead. Walking Dead premiere.
Spoiler alert.
It was out the other day.
We're going to talk
if
about everything.
If you haven't seen it.
Now, I'm going to say that I didn't watch the episode. I didn't watch the episode. The main reason I didn't watch the episode is because I've read the book, so I don't need to watch the episode.
Plus, you hate the show.
Pretty much. But I want to tell you guys.
Yeah, but the book's got nothing to do with the show.
I know. But you guys are going to be very proud of me because I do feel that I've turned a corner in my snobbery.
Okay.
So I'm on Facebook, and I'm watching all of these people get all, like, crazy upset because Glenn's dead because he got his head bashed in. And I start getting really smug. I start getting smug because, you know what? Yeah, it's called Walking Dead number 100, okay? And we've all read it. And we all knew it. And it was like, where's the surprise, guys? We all knew it was going to happen. Oh, Abraham got killed first. Now, okay, so that was a little different. Meh. But we all knew Glenn was going to get it. And it was like, come on. Seriously, guys? You didn't know? But then, and this is where you guys are going to be proud of me. Suddenly, I realized that in my smuggery, that it was exactly how smug Game of Thrones fans got during the Red Wedding.
Yep.
Right? They were like, and I realized that all of a sudden all I was just a big, big jerk. I was a big, smug Game of Thrones novel reading jerk because, yeah, and that's not fair. Seriously, folks, you should have Googled it because it's already online. And yeah, Glenn was dead and we all knew. And I've been telling you all summer on every episode of the show, Glenn was going to get killed.
But nobody knew that he was going to die for sure.
Oh, for crying out loud!
Because the show has deviated so much.
I understand. And that's the problem with the show. And that's the problem with the show. That is the problem with the show.
In your opinion.
No, it's what's the problem with the show is.
In your opinion.
But come on. It's such an iconic scene in the comic. And if they
Rick. Rick losing his hand was an iconic scene. They haven't done that yet.
No. But it's so iconic that if they were going to do that, it's kind of like with Spider-Man. When they put Gwen Stacy in, you knew she was going to die, right? She's going to die. It's like with The Walking Dead. Glenn's going to get his head bashed in. It's going to happen.
Yeah, but they did the head fake by killing off Abraham.
Yes, they did.
Who I actually liked.
But, yeah, he was an awesome character.
But what I'm going to... And he died a different way in the comic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he dies after Glenn gets his head bashed in. But what I was... The point is not how they did it. The point is that I feel that I have grown as a human being in this, in realizing that while all the readers out there should have, A, been reading, the watchers that don't read the books, first of all, should have been reading the book. And number two, Google it. And number three, I've told you so every episode.
Maybe they don't listen to us.
But none of that matters. None of it matters. Because at the end of the day, I'm a big jerk. I'm a big smug jerk for getting smug. And you know what? I love Game of Thrones. It's a show I love. And maybe if I had read the book, I would have known about the Red Wedding. And now I'm just that guy. And I'm sorry for being that guy. I'm going to try not to be that guy in the future, but I probably will still be that guy. By the way, everybody, Carl gets his eye shot out.
That's already happened.
Oh, did
it?
Yeah, because you didn't watch the show, so you don't even know.
No, see, I don't even know.
Let's talk. Marty, you watched the show?
I did.
Okay. Sam, I'm just going to turn your mic off.
No problem.
Just kidding. But, I watched the show. It was actually the first episode I watched live as it aired because I've watched them on DVD previously, to catch up. Never caught it live. It was a pretty decent episode, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty intense.
I like that they kind of drew it out an extra, 20 minutes into the episode before they told you exactly who was going to be the one that gets killed. Mm-hmm. Because, a lot of people were expecting and hoping the first minute would show somebody's head getting splattered, which they didn't do.
No, they drew it out, right? A little bit of drama.
But not in a, not in a tease way or blah, blah, blah. Like, it was like they just picked the story up from when it happened, and then we saw it from Rick's point of view later. Mm. And I thought when Abraham got killed, I was like, wait, so they're not going to kill Glenn? And I started thinking about how different Walking Dead's world would be if Glenn and Maggie were still together. Do you not think that that's a huge, would be a huge difference?
It would be a huge difference.
Because, I immediately started thinking, well, what does this mean for, all of the stuff to come if Glenn's still there? Hmm. So I thought, I was pretty excited to think about, the world with Maggie and Glenn still together. And then, of course, Glenn got his head smashed in.
Huh. What's the name of the guy with the tiger?
Ezekiel.
I can't wait for everybody to lose their heads over what happened to Ezekiel.
But that's still going to be many.
That could be two seasons from now.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen is everybody's like, oh my God, I can't believe what happened to Ezekiel.
So much for not being that guy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So that lasted 3 minutes.
Yep, you have it. We'll get the stopwatch out later and figure out exactly how many minutes that lasted.
Yeah, they're going to lose their heads over that.
Ba-dum-bum.
Did I mention losing heads?
Ba-dum-bum.
Okay, anyway, all right. So Walking Dead, that was the thing. I didn't watch it. I'm sorry.
Did you see the scene, though?
No.
You didn't even watch the scene?
No.
But you should have watched the scene.
Well, I don't know. I'm catching up on Grey's Anatomy.
All I gotta say is Jeffrey Dean Morgan is my hero. That guy is like an unsung hero of character actors that's breaking out.
That's amazing. Yeah,
like he did an amazing job as the comedian in Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
Like fantastic job. That was probably the one character in that show, in that movie, that was perfectly cast.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
He was in Losers. He played Clay in Losers.
I didn't see that.
Which is an image. I think it's an Image book, isn't
I think
it?
So.
No, wasn't it Vertigo?
Could be.
Losers is Vertigo.
I'll have to look because I bought it as trade paperback. Okay. So I read it in trades. I didn't read it in originals.
Mm-hmm.
And he was awesome in that. He was Thomas Wayne in Batman vs. Superman.
That's right. That right? I never
no,
saw.
It was just a little cameo kind of quickie role, but you didn't see much of him. And then, of course, he's been in... what's that show my kid watches? Supernatural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've seen him doing a few things in Supernatural, and I think he's a great actor.
He's a great awesome. Actor, and he's great as Negan.
Oh, yeah.
Let's admit it. The world just loves him. The world is in love with this man.
Oh, he's great.
Mm-hmm.
I like him.
But the reason I asked if you had seen it is because it's like pretty much faithful to the comic book.
What yeah, that's what I hear.
Glenn.
That's what I hear.
Well, what happens to Glenn, but... I liked in the episode how it was kind of like you had Handless, what's his name again? Rick. Rick, I can't tell the faces in the book comics, so I can't tell the names in the TV shows, but that's okay. He was so defiant after Abraham died, and then they show the absolute and complete destruction of him as a strong character, just pulverized, and Negan literally strips him down to raw, naked emotion by the end of the episode. And that was the whole purpose of that episode, is to just really devastate the leadership of
the thing group. Back to the comic for a second. Walking Dead number 100 is such an important issue, and it's such a disturbing issue, and the death of Glenn is so disturbing. What's disturbing about it is to see where a human is destroyed in such an inhuman way, but by another human. Where it's not about zombies, that it's that where the human being Negan is more evil than the zombies themselves.
Well, I'd argue,
or
that,
are they?
I would
or
argue.
Is he?
I would argue that what he did emotionally to Rick is more inhuman, more devastating than just beating somebody with a baseball.
Oh, bat. I agree.
That's just thuggery.
Mm-hmm.
But the joy, especially in the TV show, the joy to which that sociopathic journey was that he took Rick on. Was just amazing. Like, you didn't see the show, but there's this one point where Rick is still just ever so slightly still being defiant. So what they basically do is they throw the kid on the ground, and they're going to make Rick cut off his son's hand.
Wow.
Right?
I have
Negan draws a line across his wrist and tell him where it's going to be. So it's like, cut your son's hand off or we put a bullet in everybody's head.
Yeah. I find that hard for Negan, though, because in Negan's own weird way, I mean, he likes kids.
I don't know. I
Negan likes kids. He has his own weird moral code.
Yeah.
Doesn't stop him from killing them.
No.
Doesn't stop him from killing their parents.
No.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So maybe he likes, what's his name? Chip? What's Rick's kid's name? Daryl?
No, it's Carl.
Eh?
Carl.
Is it Carl?
It's Carl. Anyways, Carl.
It's Carl.
All of the I memes on Facebook and Twitter.
Oh, my God. They were
hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. They were hilarious.
I saw a lot of those. That's how I knew everybody was losing their heads over Glenn. I'm like, oh, my God. I've been telling you all summer. I've been telling you.
There you go.
Nobody listens to Sam.
I did like the one meme that Marty, you shared, that was like a picture of Abraham. And it was like, hey, guys, you know, I died too, right?
Yeah, he's like, hey, what about me?
Because, you know, I liked Abraham, so.
And I can't tell you what the name of that actor is, but I've seen him in a bunch of stuff,
too. Michael something?
He's a pretty good character actor,
Michael Ironside?
No, it's not Michael Ironside.
Michael Moore?
There's this documentary on Netflix that you guys got to see. It's literally called That Guy Who Was In That Thing.
Well, I watched that documentary. Yeah. That is an amazing documentary.
It's just a documentary about character actors that you never remember their names, but you immediately pick up their faces.
Yeah.
And like everybody in this documentary was like, hey, I like that guy when he's in, you know, Murder, She Wrote. That guy was awesome in that episode of
Barney Miller.
Newer than that. I was thinking Law and Order and Special Crimes Law and Order and Law and Crimes Order and Law and Order of America and Law and Order Europe and Law and Order East Coast. And
okay, right. Gotcha.
Great Lakes Law and Order.
Great Lakes. Law and Order.
But yeah. Speaking of television and comic books, how about the Star Trek Next Generation and Aliens crossover that was just announced?
I haven't seen anything about that. Tell me about that.
The Next Generation is crossing over with Aliens.
Oh, wow.
Now, of course, unless this is being published by Archie, which we know it isn't,
yeah,
none of the main Star Trek characters are going to die.
Right.
So just there's the guys gonna in the... be there's going to be a heck of a lot of chest bursters coming out of red shirts. So
pretty.
That's what's, what's the name of that famous red shirt guy who was in like almost every episode?
Oh, I have no idea.
What's the actor's name? He was in almost every Star Trek episode.
The only guy I know in a red shirt from Star Trek is James Doohan.
Yeah, he didn't die.
No, he didn't die.
Well,
he did.
Well, he died
eventually. Not in the show.
Yeah. Did you guys?
Spoilers.
Did you guys ever meet James Doohan? I met James Doohan.
No.
No, I saw James Doohan at a comic book show one time. Actually, it was the first comic show I ever went to. James Doohan was there. But 2 weeks earlier, he had a stroke. Yeah. So he was in a wheelchair. He couldn't talk. He could barely move his hands. But he still signed autographs.
With one missing finger.
Or something. I don't know.
He had his, he was a World War II vet, and he had his finger shot off in one of the invasions. I want to say Dieppe, but I might get in trouble. Well, not Dieppe. Dieppe was the wrong war. Juno Beach, but okay. I can't swear by that.
Yeah, it was just really interesting. It was like, did he really need the money, or just did he not want to disappoint everybody? I don't know.
Well, he's Canadian, so
he probably didn't want to disappoint everybody. But man, he was, and apparently they say that he was so sick that they wheeled him on stage to do his question and answer period, but he couldn't talk. So who got on stage with him was Chewbacca.
Peter Mayhew.
Who just yelled at everybody.
Pretty much, because that's what he does. And he's during the question and answer period, James Doohan actually fell asleep.
There you go.
Like, he just actually just rolled back and he fell asleep in his chair, in his wheelchair while Peter Mayhew answered Star Trek questions. I don't know.
Now, have either of you guys been in the Aliens comics? Like, have you read all the Aliens comics?
I'm not even really a fan of the movie series.
Oh, I love the movie series. Yeah. And I had, as a kid, which I wasn't supposed to because I was young at the time, but I had that Walter Simonson adaptation.
Oh, cool.
That was just amazing. But for whatever reason, being a huge fan of the comic book, of the movies, I've never really gravitated to the comic books. And I'm not sure. Like, I don't know anybody that reads the comics, but they must be popular
because
Dark
they keep
Horse is
coming,
still
out.
Coming out.
Yeah. Oh.
So I tried that Aliens Defiance comic that came out, and it just I think it's the supporting cast. If you don't have a strong supporting cast in an Aliens movie, then it's just a creature feature.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same thing happens in the comics. If the cast isn't resonating with you, the supporting characters, then it's just aliens jumping out of chests, right? So I didn't like that Aliens Defiance at all.
Mm.
But anyways. So that's coming out.
Mm.
I think Gilpin's excited about that.
Yeah. Well, talking about television and comics.
Which we seem to be doing.
Well, let's talk a little bit about comic creators. One thing that happened this week I want to talk a little bit about was one of my absolute, I guess, kind of icons of comics for me personally, passed away very suddenly at the age of 54, which was Steve Dillon, which I think surprised and shocked a lot of people. And I did a little bit of research before the show. Now, Steve Dillon, a lot of people will immediately recognize Steve Dillon as the writer of, not the writer, the artist on Preacher. And he drew every single issue of Preacher. And right there in the opening credits of Preacher, you actually see created by Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon. Some of the other books that people remember Steve Dillon was Garth Ennis' run on Hellraiser.
Yep.
He also did Garth Ennis' a run on Punisher.
Yep, Punisher.
But one thing I did not know about him is he was the creator of Dog Welder. It was actually Steve Dillon that came up with the character Dog Welder. Dog Welder? Anybody?
Oh, from Hitman.
From Hitman.
Yeah.
Basically, Dog Welder is a character, and his superpower is that he takes dogs and he welds them onto the side of people's faces. And that is what Dog Welder does. And right now, there's a six-pack Dog Welder miniseries going on at DC, which I'm not reading. But Steve Dillon's final art job is an upcoming cover of a six-pack in Dog Welder. I was trying to find out what he died of. It was natural causes, but it was very sudden. And I think it was like a burst appendix or something. Like it was.
Oh, yeah.
He was living in New York. He was from Ireland. And I want to say he was an exceptional talent. I know a lot of guys who really don't like his art. But I think for the people that do love the Garth and the stuff like I do, is Ennis and Steve Dillon are such a...
Like they're just a creative team.
They're such a creative team. And when you read Ennis, you expect that Steve Dillon art.
Yeah.
And the two of them went so well together. And the idea that... Now, Garth Ennis has done a lot of books without Steve Dillon, but the idea that they're going to not do something again to me... It's so disheartening to me. It hurts just a little bit. And I remember a number of years ago, Steve Dillon was supposed to go to one of those Wizard Worlds in Toronto, but he bailed at the last moment. I was really disappointed. I was excited to meet him. But, I think, the comic lost another... We're losing greats left and right and center.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
So what I want to talk about is that we had another death in comics that a lot of people don't seem to be talking about it for a number of reasons. I think number one is because a lot of people aren't aware of his comics. Number two, that some of the people that are aware really don't like him. And there's a lot of good reasons. And I'm going to try to be unbiased as I talk about this individual. But it's something I do want to talk about because it's a cartoonist, a comic guy that's always kind of fascinated me a little bit. It was a man by the name of Jack Chick, and he did a series of comics from the starting in the 1960s up until even a few years ago called Chick Tracks. And literally what Chick Tracks were is they were these little religious comics that would be drawn, and they were very small, like little rectangular pamphlets almost, and they would be left on park benches, bus stops, cafe tables, and he would write these things. He'd have different artists who would draw them, and he would send them out and just get religious individuals to drop them off all over the place. Chick Tracks are highly collectible, and there is definitely a legion of collectors who are really into these things. But what makes Jack Chick so controversial is his material, albeit religious in nature, it is so off balance that it's been described as being hate literature. It's anti-Semitic, anti-gay, very anti-Catholic. He goes after stuff from everything from rock and roll music to role-playing games to any type of media that's popular is going to bring Satan into your homes. One of his most famous comics that I know you can read on the internet is about Dungeons and Dragons. And about how, I think the kids get so into the game that a girl commits suicide and then the rest of them join a satanic cult because Satanism and Dungeons & Dragons is completely...
just hand in hand.
I mean, personally, I think it's just a bunch of guys looking for chocolate bars, but what do I know? But Jack Chick was a really weird guy, and the only photograph that was known of him was from like the mid-50s. He was a recluse. He didn't leave his home. And in my head, I actually always thought that he probably died years ago and that they were just doing new story stuff and they were putting his name on it. But apparently he died at age 92. And
he's been doing stuff. Like there's a comic book here. It's Allah Has No Son.
Mm.
Like you can actually order now. Like you said, some of the original stuff's really collectible.
Really collectible,
You can order, it says here, case lots and assortments. You can get an entire case of that comic book with the, it's called Dark Dungeons. 98 bucks US gets you a case of them.
Yeah, and the idea was that to put them out.
Yeah, hand them out at Halloween and stuff.
Yeah, Halloween's another one he went after. Anything that's fun, Satan basically, is trying to get into your life.
Now he's
I thought you were going to say that Satan is fun.
No.
He's actually a really good artist.
That's not his art. He didn't draw them. He was just the writer.
Okay.
So he had different artists that did them.
Well, I don't know who did the art in this Dungeons & Dragons one, but it's great.
Yeah, but yeah, so usually his art definitely definitely kind of varies between the different books.
He's from Ontario.
Was he from Ontario?
Ontario, California.
Oh, okay. There you go. There you
91761, Post Office Box, 3500.
Yeah. Well, anyways.
$98 gets you a case of these.
Jack Chick was an interesting oddity in the comic book comic world. Do I think the world's better off without him? Yes, actually, I do. I don't think that we have any room for hate literature in the world today. I really don't think anything that actually speaks against a group of people, especially in the name of God, I think is disgusting. But as I said, these books, like these early Jack Chick books, highly collectible. And again, it was another comic loss. I'm sure some people will miss him, but he definitely made things interesting in comics, and he created definitely a little bit of a, excuse the term, cult franchise when it comes to collectibles.
There you go.
So, yeah.
I mean, I remember something about this.
Yeah.
But I don't, right.
I remember researching it at one point. I was thinking about writing an article on it one time that I never did. I think I just got so disgusted by the whole thing. I was just like, I don't even want to write about this. I don't need to, you know, we don't need another article about Jack Chick. Yeah. But I really thought he was dead. I thought he died years ago and that they just were keeping it a big secret. But yeah, Jack Chick, dead, 92, so at age of 92, so... so yeah, yeah, that's what happened in comics this week. Steve Dillon, I don't know what else happened in comics this week.
Oh, lots of stuff.
It was a busy week between. Oh, let's talk about the Logan trailer.
Logan trailer.
Oh yeah, have you seen the Logan trailer?
I have seen the Logan trailer.
Oh my God, have you seen the Logan trailer?
I did see the Logan.
I know, my God, the Logan trailer. Okay, so here's the thing about the Logan trailer.
Let her rip, Sam.
As everybody knows, I'm not a big fan of superhero movies. I used to love them for a while. But then I kind of got bored of him. Me and Marty's
because
had this...
Because you are that guy.
Because I'm that guy. Me and Marty's talked about it. And I love Marty's philosophy on comic movies. That works for me, but I'm past it. And then I saw the Logan trailer. My God. I don't think I've ever liked any of the Wolverine movies.
The last couple were okay.
Yeah.
The first one was horrible.
I don't even think I saw the last one. I didn't see it. But anyway, I saw this trailer. And you made a great point the other day when we were talking about it. Where you were saying it was probably unlike any other comic book trailer.
Yeah, it was a little bit different in that it's, you know, most of the time when they do a trailer, it's like, let's do the flash, let's do the bang, let's do the hook, let's do the action, rockin' soundtrack. Everybody wants
to had a rockin' soundtrack, my friend. It was Johnny Cash.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't call Johnny Cash rocking.
Do you have something to say with that about that, Dan?
Johnny Cash is good.
Okay.
It Johnny was Cash suiting is great. Suitable for the trailer.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I love Johnny Cash, but I wouldn't call Johnny Cash rocking.
Right. Well,
you obviously haven't heard him cover Rusty Cage by Soundgarden.
Oh,
yeah. I heard a couple of covers of his.
All right.
But, yeah, so it was a little bit off. The other thing is, and I'm surprised that you love it because
I love
it. It is quite obviously borrowing from several storylines that are not in continuity.
Storylines I never read.
Yeah,
so
that's
therefore
the
problem. He's okay with it.
So he's okay if they mess things up in Game of Thrones because he never read the books. But heaven forbid they do something in Walking Dead because he reads that book.
All right, this is the thing.
I'm not even going to ask him what he thinks of the Preacher TV show.
We've talked about that. Don't even go there.
So yeah, there. It looks like it's going to be a little bit of Old Man Logan.
Yep.
But I don't know if the Hulk's going to be the bad guy in it. Because they're either going to do that as a surprise, or there was no mention of him. Xavier's in the trailer. Yeah. He's not in Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
The original miniseries within the Wolverine series, not the current Old Man Logan. And then the introduction of X-23, right?
Yes.
His daughter.
X-23.
Which definitely doesn't happen at that time period.
Mm-hmm. I think the reason the guy got very excited is right now in the Marvel books, probably the two Marvel books I'm enjoying the most is Old Man Logan and All New Wolverine. I love those two books.
And yet the movie is messing with the timelines of those two books.
Meh.
From the trailer that we've seen
briefly. I suppose. All I know is I don't know a lot of the history of Old Man Logan and X-23. Because I didn't start reading either of those characters until the current Marvel books, which I love. And what's odd about it is I'm not traditionally a Wolverine fan. Wolverine's a character that I've never been that interested in. I don't own a single issue of Wolverine. I've never bought a single issue Wolverine in my life. I have the Origin book, but I don't own a Wolverine book. But for whatever reason, Old Man Logan and All New Wolverine have really grabbed me. And when I saw Old Man Logan, I saw X-23, I was like, I was emotionally hit. It took a piece of my heart.
In the trailer, X-23, what's her real name?
Laura.
Laura, she's like young.
Yeah.
That's not the character that's in the comic that you know.
I don't know.
She's not wearing fishnets.
I'm a hypocrite.
I think so.
Is that what you're trying to say?
That's what I'm saying.
Just call me that.
You are a hypocrite.
I'm a hypocrite.
You are that guy.
I'm a geek hypocrite.
But that's a takeaway from the fact that the trailer was epically awesome.
Amazing. And I can't wait. And this is the first... When was the last time any of you guys heard me say, I can't wait for a comic book movie?
Doctor Strange.
I'm looking forward to that.
That comes out next week.
It does come out next week. Yes.
Hint, wink, wink. We should go see Doctor Strange and not on Friday.
Oh, I'm working.
After the movie? Yeah. After the radio show?
Yeah, probably. I'm not... I might be at the... No, I won't be here next week. Sorry. So let's talk about what you got in front of you there. There's a book in front of you. Do you not want to talk about that, Marty?
I was wondering what the hell you were talking about. But
the
yes,
book that's
in
front of you.
Book in front
yes.
Of okay, so Canadian Comics. Reviewing Canadian Comics for First Comic News. Love Canadian Comics.
By the way, we've never like talked about First Comic News and the fact that we have the podcast on there.
I think we did once.
We have many times.
No, we've talked about Marty reviewing it. Maybe you guys have.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think we have.
Maybe it's the day I wasn't here.
So, yeah, in case anybody doesn't know, I review comics for a website called First Comics News. So you can Google that and up it comes. And a little while ago, they were very gracious enough to say that they would like to feature our podcast on there as well. So if you go to First Comics News, you'll see reviews by me. You'll see the radio show. And, of course, the radio show is on our home base. HeyKidsComics.ca. All episodes all are on our home base. Some of them are on First Comics News. So I got in touch with... actually, Jeff Burton got me turned on to this because I'm doing a Canadian Comics Creators Omnibus that he was going to distribute with the Kickstarter. So we're...
For Aurora Man.
Yeah, for Aurora Man. So we're working on that with him, trying to get it formatted up for a special project that we're not going to talk about. And one of the contributors was Donovan. Now, I'm Polish, and this last name is Jacek. I don't think he pronounces it that way. That's fine. I'm going to keep pronouncing it in Polish. It's Jacek.
All right.
So Donovan Jacek, he's going to phone me. And he's going to wrote this comic book called Space Pig. Hamadeus, or Hamadeus. I guess it would be Hamadeus, wouldn't it?
Because the pun of him being
that like Hamadeus, 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 Hamadeus.
So basically, it's your typical. What do they call that when the animals are done as humans?
Rock me, Hamadeus, Hamadeus.
Anthropological.
Anthropomorphic. So.
That's it. Anthropomorphic. The Polak learned a new big word.
What did I say?
Anthropological.
So this is an anthropomorphic comic book where this particular spaceman happens to look like a pig. And the art is hilarious. The story is great. You know, it's just a really, really top-notch comic book. It's produced really well. You know, the fonts are great. The page layouts are professional. Like this could easily be distributed by, you know, Boom, Dark Horse, anybody, as is. It's a great little comic book. So I did a review of issue number 4, which is Space Pig Hamadeus and the Captive Planet. So Space Pig...
I love the cover. The cover is fantastic.
Yeah, this is the regular cover. It's painted nice. It's got some nice graphics. But they also... What Donovan has done is he prints off a few variants, and he takes that same painted image, but puts it in like gold key type dressing. So it looks like an old Swiss Family Robinson gold key comic. And those are epic.
Yeah.
They are fantastic. As soon as I saw the first one, I was just like typing on the computer frantically. Okay, Donovan, I need the whole set. I need 1 through 4. I need the gold key covers. You got to give me the gold key covers because they're absolutely amazing. Because I love them. Because I like gold key. And I'm easy enough to remember gold key.
So yeah, it's a hilarious comic book.
You know, one of the biggest sorrows of my life was back, and Marty can, a little bit of local history, Marty can remember this too, is back when we were kids, there was a place, a little antique shop in, what was the plaza there with the bowling alley?
Market Plaza.
Market Plaza. It was called J&D Coins and Things. And now...
J&D Coins. And that was like the original flea market, antique mall, hole-in-the-wall store to go find comics.
Now, Jerry still has a booth at the at the barn. But what used to be is when you went to J&D Coins is he had this giant chest that held the door open. And in the chest was dozens and dozens and dozens of Gold Key comics.
Full. It was full.
Full of Gold Key comics for a buck.
No bags, no boards. No bags. Just sitting there.
Just sitting there for a buck. And I remember going through them. And this guy must have had every issue of Dark Shadows because that's where I first heard about Dark Shadows was because of the comic book. And he had tons of Dark Shadows and Swiss Family Robinson, Korak,
Trag. I wouldn't want to say Thunder God. But that's not what it is.
Who was the guy? Who's the caveman that, or not the guy that fights the dinosaurs? Turok.
No, it wasn't. Oh yeah,
Turok. Yeah, Turok. Swiss Family Robinson. I said that already. Or a Space Family Robinson.
Okay, now I'm confused. Turok and Trag were two different guys. Right?
I think they were two different guys. Yeah.
Yeah,
but they just had, they had tons of these, and they were just sitting there, and no one would buy them.
Yeah, because nobody wanted them. And now I'm, like, hunting like crazy for Trags.
And, I mean, I'm buying every issue of Dark Shadows I can get my hands on, and I'll pay up to 20, 30, 40 bucks for these things. He had them all for a buck.
Yeah.
For a buck. And now that's the thing, is he still has a booth at, he must have sold them all at one point, because they don't show up at the barn.
Yeah, he's got some comic books there, but even when he had the store, he was mostly a coin guy.
Yeah.
But he had some stamps, he had some coins, a few other
collectibles. He had old movie posters, cards.
But his big thing was coins,
yeah,
right?
it still is.
So the same thing with the barn. He's got a few comics there still.
It's actually just leftover stock from the store.
You know, I just clued in like that I actually went there too.
Did you? Wow,
but,
yeah.
But I went looking for cards and stuff.
He had cards there. Yeah.
Hockey cards and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of like stuff like the Three's Company cards and the Welcome Back Cotter cards.
Oh, he's still got a lot of the movie and TV show cards out there at the barn. He's got like a complete set of Charlie's Angels season two.
He's got
Space 1999.
I remember I had a friend who was a big when I was in high school, I had a crush on a girl who was a big Partridge Family fan, and I was a Partridge Family fan. That was something we had in common, and I bought like an entire set of Partridge Family cards from him. I think it was the last thing I ever bought from him before he went out of business. Yeah. Well, he never really. I guess he retired.
Well, they started, I'm not sure if it had anything to do with it or not, but they kind of refurbished the mall there a little bit, and they put in that drugstore and stuff like this. So I don't know if he got the boot because of that, or he left, and because the space was empty, they renovated. So I'm not sure what happened.
But I remember the one thing about J&D Coins and Things is it was like, when I was a kid, I was probably about grade 6 or 7, I remember going, the one thing that I was always getting was, I was looking for Phantom Comics.
Yeah.
Which, was that Gold Key, or was that King? I think it was King Features at one point, and it ended up going over to Gold Key.
I think so.
Or was it Dell?
Well, Dell turned into Gold Key.
Okay. And there was those beautiful painted Phantom covers. And I was watching Phantom on Defenders of the Earth, the Defenders of the Earth cartoon series.
That's why I'm thinking King Features was the comic.
Yeah. And so he had all these old Phantom comics. And I remember going in, and it was the first time I was buying comics from the 1960s. I was about the 6th or 7th grade, and I thought that was just amazing. I remember getting my dad to go bring me down there on Saturday so I could rummage through his comic bins.
Yeah, yeah.
But boy, do I ever wish I would have bought those Gold Key books that he had holding up the front door.
I bet you he wished you would have bought those Gold Key comics back then, too.
Man, I wish I would have bought them. I still have all those Phantom books that I bought from him.
Excellent.
I still have every single issue of them, and they're all, I wouldn't say they're in great shape, but they're in probably the same condition they were when I bought them off him.
And what shape are your comics in, Sam? I remember seeing a picture on Facebook a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, about Mr. Tibby.
About
Mr.
A cat incident.
I got to get you that stand.
Oh, so I got this big black cat named Mr. Tibbs. And Mr. Tibbs was having a nap on my stereo, on my record player. And as a lot of listeners know, I'm a big record collector as well. And so Mr. Tibb was having a nap on the record player, which is right next to the comic stand. All of a sudden, a car drove by and it backfired. This is a bang. Mr. Tibbs.
Cars backfire?
They did, or
they
something.
They still backfire?
I don't know. It was something.
Was it e-testing and everything?
Something banged from a vehicle outside of my window. All of a sudden, Mr. Tibbs jumped a mile high in the air, knocked over the stereo, knocked over the comic rack, comics all over my office. And I'm looking at this cat thinking, you've just pulverized the two most important things in this room, the comic stand and the record player. You horrible, horrible little cat. No, he didn't mean to. He was scared and he just jumped. But it was just like how one cat could create such a massive
trail
disaster.
Of disaster, yeah.
It was something else. So I put pictures of it. And there's this really cute cat picture of the cat actually checking out the damage afterwards. But he didn't wreck anything. We were lucky. The record player was fine. The comics were fine. Everything was fine. The cat was fine.
The comics were fine because you had already wrecked them.
No, they were all bag and boarded.
Just joking.
I know. They're all. I'm fine.
You'd put them in your mouth.
I'd put your stuff in my mouth.
There you go.
That did not come with your comics. I wouldn't even do that. I don't know what was going on that day. It was hot in here, man.
It's fine. It's just joke fodder
it's
now.
It's just folk fodder. Yeah. It's just
because you're joking. That guy.
Because I'm that guy.
There was never a that guy. As in that guy who puts other people's comics in his mouth. Like, that's not a that guy.
Now there is.
if there's more than one of you that's done that, then we're in trouble.
Oh, I know. So we got like 5 minutes left, man. Guys, what else is going on here? I feel like there's so much more to talk about, but I can't think.
There's definitely stuff to talk about, but probably not like just within 5 minutes.
Oh, geez.
What we should touch on is Chelsea King.
Think that's like more than a 5 minute discussion.
Well, we'll start and maybe we'll talk about it next week.
I like the idea of that.
Okay, so Chelsea Kane is a writer of novels, thrillers, and stuff, and she's decided to write the Mockingbird series, which is
a very good, by the way.
I liked it.
It's good.
Pretty good. Sales were not great, so it's been canceled and stuff.
It got canceled?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And on her last. Issue, there is a picture of Bobby wearing a t-shirt that says, "Ask me about my feminist agenda." Well, Nerdtropolis went bonkers. Total hate spamming her Twitter account and going on and on against feminist agendas and stuff.
Oh my God.
And it kind of freaked her out because she's never experienced this outside of, like, in her regular day job. This is just the comic nerds that went ballistic. And to be fair, it might not have even been comic nerds. It could have just been misogynists that caught wind of the news story and made it a little bit bigger. It was
all Trump supporters and the people who didn't like the last Ghostbusters movie. Let's face it. That's what it was.
I didn't like the last Ghostbusters movie, and I'm not an anti.
Well, I didn't say that all of us feel that way.
Okay.
I'm just saying that, you know, that because the Ghostbusters had the same problem.
I found that the new Ghostbusters to be tired and a retread. And
I didn't even
see
it.
Some of the actresses were great.
I didn't even see it. So, why would I see it? I've seen the original Ghostbuster movie. I don't need to see that again. Anyways.
So,
but you were saying.
Yeah, it just seems like it was kind of like a gang up on Feminist Day, and everybody went nuts. And it's kind of funny because the trade paperback for the first 5 issues of Mockingbird is the number one seller on Amazon right now.
Because of this. Isn't that amazing? It's a fun book. It's a great read.
And it's not... See, I'm not a huge fan of capital feminists. Like Dan said, this isn't really... You know, we can't really get into this in the short period of time that we have. I don't like militant anything. I don't like militant men. I don't like militant feminists. I don't like militant gays. I don't like anybody who takes anything to an extreme. I just don't like it. Why can't we all just live together? You want to do your thing. You want to do your thing. Yes, everybody should get paid the same. Everybody should be treated the same.
You can read Walking Dead. You can just watch the show. It doesn't matter.
Let's just walk down the street hand in hand singing Kumbaya. Like, let's
more
just
less,
relax.
Let's just
right?
be friends.
So, and it just, and the comic book is about a strong female character and a well-written strong female character. It doesn't have this man-hate agenda. It's just a good comic book written by a bright lady about a very strong female character, and it's just a good comic.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody took it to the extreme and started freaking out. Now she's canceled her Twitter account, and...
Do you think she'll be reading another, writing another comic anytime soon?
Well, you never know. Like,
I hope
know.
So. She does, she should, because I mean she's a fantastic writer.
I'm hoping the positivity from the people that are supporting it now.
You know
is
what? I want her
the knuckle draggers.
Chelsea Kane on Black Canary.
There you go.
Make it happen.
It would be a great comic. It really would be.
It would be a fantastic comic.
And the other thing, like, because and Bleeding Cool has actually been doing some great, like, tongue-in-cheek articles just pummeling all the idiots that are trolling her. But like the variant, because it's a variant cover too.
Yeah.
And it's been solicited for 6 months.
Yeah, like
so
the picture's
been
out
there. And now it's just like
that's
somebody
why,
decided now to make it a big
that's
deal.
Why I think somebody in the wrong man-hate group got wind of the story and blew it up. You know, I really don't think it's your average comic guy. Like, we can, a lot of comic book people, as we've seen today, can be opinionated. I myself can be opinionated.
Yes, you can.
But, it's, honest to gosh, guys, it's 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up. Ladies are here. Ladies are strong. Ladies are
the
empowered.
Industry will only survive with female readers and female writers and strong female characters.
Well, damn heck, straight.
Society will only survive if everybody is strong and together. And it just, I don't know. Like you said, there's not enough time to get into it. So I'm trying not to fire off into a tangent here and start yelling. But
save that tangent for next week.
Exactly.
And maybe we should just hum some Kumbaya.
Do we have a closing theme yet?
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?